there. I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. Today, we're covering an Ayurvedic approach to skin and how to get your vitality back. My guest is Dr. Keisha Ewers. She is board certified in functional medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, as well as being a doctor of sexology, psychotherapist, energy worker, yoga teacher, and the host of Healthy You Radio Network. Dr. Keisha has been in the field for over 30 years. Her constant thirst for knowledge and the pursuit of finding answers to her patients' problems has taken her around the world. And after helping others and curing herself from rheumatoid arthritis, a supposedly incurable autoimmune disease, Dr. Keisha developed the Freedom Framework, which is designed to get to the root of the problem of any disease or imbalance. Her online programs and videos can be found at drkeisha.com. In this interview, we discuss how women lose their vitality and how to get it back. And we talk about how to identify your Ayurvedic type and how to address skin issues with an Ayurvedic approach. This is something we haven't covered on my podcast, so I'm excited to talk about this today. So please enjoy this interview. Dr. Keisha Ewers, it's so great to have you on my podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Cates. It's always a pleasure to talk to wonderful people like you who are doing such good work in the world.
Thank you. So we're talking today about vitality and specifically women's vitality. So I know we have a lot to cover today. You specialize in Ayurvedic medicine, correct?
I do. Functional medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and then also psychotherapy. So all of this, of course, encapsulates energy and vitality. And I'm just noticing, and you might notice this too, with the people that you see and you work with, that we're starting to see more and more women that are drained of their vitality, feeling overscheduled, overprocessed, supplemented even, you know, just so much burning candle at the both ends. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that, but that's definitely what I'm seeing a lot of.
Definitely. I think we, as women, we try and do so much and we can get burnt out and forget why we're really here. What's our life purpose? And then when we get back on that path, it can give us a lot of that vitality that you like to share with people and teach them about. So, at first, I think you're the first person that's been on my podcast talking about anything having to do with Ayurvedic medicine. So would you talk a little bit about Ayurvedic medicine and what it is and how it helps people?
I would love to. My favorite subject ever. So Ayurveda is the framework of medicine that's the sister science of yoga. It comes from India. It's about 10,000 years old. And long, long ago in those times, the people that sat and studied humans' interaction with every part of the environment, whether it's food, the way we move, the stars, the things that we eat, all of those things, each other, that was put down in this really wonderful systematized process that said, oh, we're not all the same person. And I think that that is something that we're just getting to again in modern medicine with the understanding of genetics and epigenetics. We're saying, oh, different things affect us differently and we're not all the same person. Well, all those years ago, Ayurvedic rishis knew this, the people that wrote this down. And I found Ayurveda because I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 30. I'm 51 now. So 20 years ago, over 20 years now, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. 80% of autoimmunity is women. And what I started discovering on my own journey was that we are all getting burned out and our bodies start to turn against us. I found Ayurvedic medicine in my little PubMed search, which is the place that we go to look for medical literature, right? What does the science say about autoimmune disease? Is there something besides methotrexate that I can take? And that's what my question really was. Is there something besides toxic drugs that my rheumatologist is offering me that I can do for this? And sure enough, you know, I found Ayurveda. And when I started studying it, all these light bulbs started going off in my head because you know, I was at that point 30, I'd already been in medicine for over a decade. And I'd been seeing that we're not all the same person. And it was frustrating. I was trying to understand why I could give one medication, because at that time I was purely Western medicine, to one person and it would act so differently in another one. And it wasn't predictable. There was no way for me to find a pattern to this. And then why did one dietary regimen work for one person and not for another? And again, I didn't have any way of really predicting what would happen. And so I had already found out that one size doesn't fit all, but I hadn't found a way to really then say, well, what size fits you versus you versus you? So Ayurveda has these three body types, and they're not just your body. They call them your constitutional types. It's the way that you process your thoughts, the way you process your food. Again, like your exercise requirements, even down to your sleep, how much sleep you should get, what time to go to bed, what time to get up. All of that is really explained and put into this, here's what you need. And I thought, wow, this is like the little owner's manual that didn't come with my children when they were born. You know, it didn't come with me. It didn't come with any of my patients. And I got really excited about it. It cured my autoimmunity. I was without autoimmunity within a month. And then in a year, nothing, just no inflammation whatsoever. And I haven't seen it since. So Ayurveda to me is this really wonderful way of helping you understand you. And it's the same with your skin. I had terrible acne. I was one of those Accutane teenagers, the antibiotic teenager, right? Which of course, as you know, you do this, it destroyed my gut. I had complete leaky gut by the time I was 30, which is one of the reasons I got autoimmune disease. So all of the conventional medicine way of dealing with this got me sicker, sicker, sicker. Ayurveda, if I'd known about it, would have said, look, when your skin is breaking out like that, that's a feedback mechanism from your body to say something's wrong. Don't try to just get rid of the acne. Go in, figure out, you know, what is it that it's telling you? And so that's one of the reasons I just love Ayurveda.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit more about skin and Ayurveda. What are some of the things that Ayurveda can teach us about our skin, and how can Ayurvedic medicine help with skin issues?
Well, there are three constitutional types, right? And these are Sanskrit words, so they're not familiar to the average American. The first one is called Vata. The way that Ayurveda sees us is that we're a mirror of the cosmos. Everything that's out in the universe, all the elements you find on the elemental table are within us. So we're a microcosm of the macrocosm of the universe. Whatever's out there is inside of us. So I started thinking about that many years ago and said, that kind of means we're just like dirt, you know? The Bible says that, from ash to ash, from dust to dust, right? And I thought, okay, we really are. And so if I usually try and explain Ayurveda, like what your kind of dirt is. So the first Ayurvedic dosha type that you'll hear often listed first is Vata. And Vata would be made of air and space. And so the dirt that is more like air and space is the desert sand. So a Vata person is going to be like that. When the wind comes up in the desert, what happens? It's just chaos, right? The wind blows, the dunes shift, everything blows around. Well, that's what happens inside of a Vata body type. If the wind, literally, if they go out in the wind and they get cold, then they get more ADD-like. They have a harder time focusing and concentrating, and they become dry like the sand. Their skin will get chapped and red and dry, peel. Their lips will start to peel. And inside in their internal organs, air and space areas become disrupted. So they can get constipated. They can get gassy and more bloated. They can get inner ear stuff and get dizzy and have vertigo. All of those kinds of things. And become more spacey, like I said, with their thoughts. And a Vata body type is usually the one that's always been thin. Really thin, short, or very tall. Thinner hair, thinner lips, thinner eyebrows, and smaller bone structure. So that's the Vata person. The Pitta person is going to be more like rainforest soil. So if a bird goes along over the rainforest and drops a seed, you don't have to sit and cultivate the seed, right? The rainforest is very fertile and it will just sprout into a new ecosystem, right, like that. And that's what happens with an idea in a Pitta person's head. They're very, very mentally, they have a lot of fire, so they can convert their ideas into actions. So a lot of fire inside of a pitta, so they're fire and water. And their skin can become inflamed because of that fire. So fire out of control, which actually our culture kind of celebrates, right? Burn the candle at both ends, very productive, accomplish a lot, multitask. And so, you know, you put the kids to bed and then work another 3 hours and work past 10 o'clock at night when a pitta person's supposed to go to bed, you're going to be more prone to those red, anything red on your skin, right? So rosacea, eczema, psoriasis, and also acne. So that's the pitta person. Very, very intelligent, very sharp tongue, sharp-witted, and they can be quite judgmental against themselves and against others. They're kind of the type A personality. Kapha will be more of water and earth, so it's clay. You stick a fork in the clay and it's not going to move, right? And so that's exactly what happens in a kapha body, is things get stuck. So weight, they'll have extra weight, they'll have extra fluid. They tend to hold on to sugar and have diabetes or mucus, lots of mucus things. Sinus infections, cysts. So cystic acne, boils, those kinds of things, those are going to be more of a kapha problem. Fibroids in the uterus, things that are fluid, cyst filled, and stuck, right? It's going to be a kapha issue. They're mentally the cookie baking mom, is how I talk about it. The best kind of friend and lover and really parent that you probably want. So we're never just one of those. That's the thing. You know, we're a combination between all three of those dosha types. And so you can take little tests online on drkeisha.com. I have a quiz, but those aren't as accurate as doing a pulse diagnosis from somebody that knows how to do pulse diagnosis. But you can use an online quiz if you think back to, because often what the online quizzes are, you're going to identify with your imbalance, right? I'm exhausted. I'm a couch potato. Therefore, I'm a kapha. But in reality, that's not really your dosha type. You've just burned yourself out. So you go back to the 20-year-old you and then answer it from that place. And that makes it a lot easier. And then so for skin, what you're doing is you're saying, how do I balance my dosha? What is my skin trying to tell me? Because Ayurveda talks about these six different advances, their stages of disease advancement, and also seven different tissue layers in your body. And everything begins in the skin. It's your greatest feedback mechanism of what's going on internally. So you don't want to just like cover it up, you know?
Right. I totally agree with that. I talk about skin being our magic mirror that gives us great clues about our overall health. And we don't want to just suppress it or cover it up with makeup or some sort of topical steroid or antibiotic. We want to figure out what is it trying to tell us. So I love what you're talking about. We haven't talked about it from an Ayurvedic perspective, so I find this very interesting. And so from a treatment perspective, tell us about what that means if people are have these or identify with these different types. Or if they go to see a practitioner and they get the, you said pulse and other types of diagnostic workup, what kind of treatment are they going to be getting?
Well, let's do acne since that's kind of a common one. Would you agree with that? Kind of a common complaint. Okay. So pitta people tend to be more prone to acne, but vata and kapha can also get it if they have, again, these are your all three of them, right? So what'll happen is we usually have, do you teach that right around this area is going to be hormonal and when you get acne? Mm-hmm. So in your jawline, it's hormonal. So when you look at it from that perspective, then you can say, okay, that actually is exactly what Ayurveda says also. But they go a little deeper and say, well, why are your hormones imbalanced in the first place? And don't just look to your hormone levels, look to the hole in the bottom of the bucket. What's making them leak? You know, what's going on? So for a pitta person, if you have acne, and the way you can tell if you're pitta is, I'm a pitta kapha girl. You look like you're a pitta vata person. And so the difference between us is I've got more of a chunky monkey body than you do. That's what I call it. And it's like that curvaceous kapha women are the Raphael angel women, you know, where it's just that wonderful curves. And so a pitta kapha person is going to be curvier with bigger breasts and have thicker lashes and oilier skin and those kinds of things. And then a pitta person is going to have those red undertones to that. So with my skin, I have that ruddy undertone. When I was a teenager, I had the T-zone typical stuff with the oil, lots and lots of oil because of my kapha part of me. And so as a 51-year-old, if I get a pimple now, what I'm asking myself is what's going on with my dosha balance. And so for treatment, what I'm going to say is, have I been getting to bed by 10? Have I been getting up by 6? Same things, like am I hydrated? Is my menstrual cycle nice and steady as we go? Am I having cramps? Am I having other things besides this one zit that's popping out and getting my attention, right? How have my last 3 menstrual cycles been? Oh yeah, I've been kind of crabby, you know, the week before. Okay, then my pitta is probably out of whack because crabbiness is very pitta. Okay, so pitta people get hangry. So with that being said, then that means my fire is out of control. So am I doing self-care? Am I taking care to make sure I go outside into the woods for a good half an hour a day, which really, really is soothing to me? Do I make sure that at night between going to bed, do I fall into bed in exhaustion from work and then want to just go straight to sleep? Am I racing to sleep? Or am I giving myself a wonderful bath in between? Right? That alerts my body that says, oh yeah, it's time to now decompress. It's time to turn on those theta brainwaves and go to sleep. So I'll start doing more self-care things. I'll bring in some cooling herbs like mint into my smoothies in the morning, a little bit of aloe into my smoothie in the morning. Lo and behold, my skin clears up. I never wear foundation. I never do. And so I don't like to cover things up. And so if I have a zit, I know there it is. I'm doing something to my body right now. I don't drink coffee. So what I'll say to myself is, have I been having more heating things, inflammatory causing foods? And so I'll look back and say, yeah, there's been quite a bit of dark chocolate in those last 3 menstrual cycles. And I haven't been thinking about that. So then I'll draw back on the caffeine because anything that's inflammatory for a pitta person is going to cause acne. So if we crave dark chocolate, what is it usually? Our adrenals are suppressed, right? Our hormones are suppressed. And so we're actually trying to make up for that energy that we've just lost. And so that one zit is telling me, you're not taking care of you.
Interesting. Right? Yeah, that's really interesting. And so a lot of it sounds like it's lifestyle changes. Yeah. And like diet and sleep patterns, stress management, maybe exercise too would be a part of that. And then also
herbs.
And then also it sounds like herbs are a big part of that. So let's tell us a little bit about Ayurvedic herbs, how they're different or the same with other herbs that people might be used to.
So Ayurvedic herbs, some of them have made it into the functional medicine world. For instance, I use a lot of gymnema to help people with their blood sugar. Well, that's it's in a lot of functional medicine herbal compounds now. Triphala is one that's made it into a lot of the mainstream bowel toning compounds that are used in functional medicine and naturopathic medicine. Some herbs that a lot of people have not heard of, though, and are really good for your skin, is something called mangista. And mangista is really wonderful for blood cleansing. So it does take down that heat in the blood. And it's a lovely one. Turmeric, we've heard a lot about, right? That's an Ayurvedic herb. It's an anti-inflammatory. Boswellia, I have found more and more in some of the functional medicine compounds for joints. So a lot of these herbs are making it into our general functional medicine and naturopathic pharmacopoeia that we're giving to our clients now. And a lot of people don't know where source of that was, the root of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're talking about things that are warming and cooling. Can you talk a bit more about that with herbs as well as foods and how people know if they need cooling or warming in different times of the season, different times of the year, different seasons, people might need different things?
It's a great question. And of course, Ayurveda talks about different seasons being acting different for each of the doshas. So I live in the Pacific Northwest in the Seattle area. And so in my area, between October-ish and March, April, it's pretty wet. And so that's going to be kapha and vata aggravating. Anything that's cold and damp will aggravate both of those. So in that case, remember, both of those need warmth to get balanced again. So we can treat both of those with ginger. We can treat both of them by having warm ginger tea every morning because it helps the digestion. In Ayurvedic medicine, as Chinese medicine, if your digestion is damp, if it's not working properly, if your fire's been put out, then you're going to have problems. The root of all health and disease starts in the digestive tract. Conventional medicine from Hippocrates said that. Naturopathic medicine knows that. You know, every single framework of medicine that I know about says digestion is the most important thing to pay attention to. So from an Ayurvedic standpoint, it's about building your digestion, you know, keeping your fire strong, making sure, like for a pitta, that your digestive fire is strong and that fire is not spreading all over the place to the rest of your body. For a vata and a kapha, making sure that it's even the pilot light is lit, right? And so ginger is really good for that. Warming spices like cayenne, cumin, in this fall, cinnamon and nutmeg and cardamom. These are all beautiful spices, anise to be using. And they're all the ones that we're pulled to anyway, right? Because it's that fall time and those all sound really yummy to us. And those root vegetables, that's all good for your digestion from an Ayurvedic standpoint and your skin. Then when after March, when it starts to slow down with the wet and we start to get some sunshine, and sometimes it rains a little bit even more, we can even get more mucus because people start getting hay fever, right? Everything's starting to bloom, more mucus. So to dry that mucus up, Ayurveda has this really wonderful compound that's called trichotu. And you mix a little long pepper, which is a black long pepper called pipali, with a little raw honey and a little ginger, and you can give that to kids off of a teaspoon, have them lick it, and their snot runs. It gets away. It dries right up, which is
really
nice.
How do you spell that?
Trichotu. But you can make it in your kitchen. Trikatu.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Nice way to do that. So when you buy Trichotu, that's what it is. It's those things put together. So I love to tell moms that, you know, or a little warm ginger tea, that this is how I do my ginger tea. I slice my ginger when I get home from the market. I stick it in a Ziploc bag in the freezer, come back from my run. I'll throw a couple slices of ginger in some boiling water, go upstairs and shower, come back, and I've had 20 minutes of boiling. I'll turn it down and then I strain it and add some fresh lime juice to it or fresh lemon. And I have this delicious digestive powerhouse, right? So that's a really great way of keeping your skin clear because it'll keep your digestion happy.
Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes people talk about how people that are rosacea prone should not have spicy foods. But what I've seen from my patients and from research is that that doesn't include Ayurvedic herbs so much. So can you explain on that a little bit?
I think when we talk about spicy food in the United States, we're talking about Tex-Mex, and it's a lot of chili peppers, right? And so I think that we've started to associate spicy with that. And salsa, hot spicy salsa, or going out for Thai food and having it like burn your face off hot, right? Where they can name, is it a 1, 2, 3, or 5 star that you want, you know, in that spicy compendium. When we talk about spices from an Ayurvedic perspective, we're not talking about burn your face off. We're not talking about where your nose starts to run. So cumin and fennel and coriander, we put those together and make this lovely tea that's great for detoxification. So that's a spice mixture, but it's not one that's so overwhelming to the system, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. And then after the spring, then what? Then what's next?
Then we have summer. And so again, everywhere in the world, this will look different. So if I talk about the Pacific, then in the summer for maybe 8 weeks, it's hot. if we over 90 degrees right now, it's July 1st that we're talking, and it was 63 degrees when I went down to the hair salon this morning. You know, it's 71 when I came out. So it's not hot by any stretch of the imagination. When it gets over 90 degrees and it gets really hot, then for a pitta person, coconut water and using mint, you know, having mint tea, using cilantro is really powerful for cooling. Also, Ayurveda uses a lot of breathing practices. So there's this wonderful pranayama, which means that's Sanskrit for conscious breathing that you can do to cool yourself down. There are a lot of places in India that are melting hot. They are so hot. Like, I feel like I just want to die when I'm there when it's in hot season. It's just too hot for me. But so they have all these great things that you can do to cool yourself down. They make mint lassis, right? Which yogurt is a cooling food. And they put a little bit of sucanat sugar in there. And then they put some mint. And that is a wonderful cooling drink that you really don't want to have with a ton, the way Americans make it is with a ton of cane sugar. And you don't want to drink it in the wintertime when it's really cold outside. You know, so we just have to learn how to understand what is this food doing in terms of warming us or cooling us. So in the summertime, you can get away with watermelon and cold things right out of the fridge and those raw vegetables. Whereas in the fall, we want to cook them and we want soupy things and we want to roast our root vegetables and put warming spices on everything. In the summertime, it'll be the opposite.
Oh, that's great. Great. Yeah. That's fantastic. And so you, you recommend these things to people as well, right? And,
yes.
And what does a workup look like if someone were to come in to see you or another Ayurvedic practitioner, what does that look like?
Well, I practice integrative medicine. So workup looks to me like getting to the root cause of whatever's going on for someone. And I do use testing because I work with people online all the time. So we ship them their tests and we see what's going on with if they've got food sensitivities, you know, and whatever's going on for their story. I look at adrenals and hormones a lot. I look at neurotransmitters and metabolic pathways through urinary organics testing. Then when we get to the place where we now know we have the data in front of us, right? And we can look at it and say, look, this is this history that you have and what's been happening. We've connected all the dots. Then I'll start giving Ayurvedic things so that you can prevent this going off the rails again. Right? Ayurveda is great preventative medicine. And it's great for detoxification too. So if someone needs to have a detoxification protocol, I give them that and it'll be very Ayurvedic centric. So
yeah. Great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And so you put together a Women's Vitality Summit. Tell us what led you to create that. And because, you know, as an integrative practitioner, Ayurvedic medicine, it's interesting that you're really focusing on vitality. So let's talk about that. And then I want you to share details about the summit as well.
It's really in response to, like I said, over the years, the thousands of women I've seen that have come in and said, Dr. Keisha, I hear that you prescribe bioidentical hormones. And I'll say, I do. What's going on for you? Well, I have a hormone imbalance. Okay, tell me what's going on. Well, I don't have any sex drive. It hurts when I have sex. It's painful intercourse. I can't remember anything anymore. You know, the usual. I'm having hot flashes, whatever it is, or bad cramps. My menstrual cycle is too heavy. It's off. So I'll do the testing that I was talking about and then say, okay, so let's fix the hole in the bottom of the boat. And if it's about sex drive, which I see a lot of women, because I have a PhD in sexology, that are really worried about some aspect of their sexuality, I'll say, you know, hormones aren't going to fix the fact that you don't like your husband right now. You know, and that I hear that a lot. They're frustrated with their partner for not being emotionally connected or home more or helping more in the house, or they had an affair, or they're financially stressed. He's without a job, she's without a job. And then people expect to have a sex drive, and there's only so much energy or vitality that can be in the bucket, right? And if we're not doing self-care to put it back in, we're empty. There's nothing left over. And the way that I usually will describe this is if you're a zebra being chased by a lion and you think you're about to be lunch it's not safe to stop and have sex. Your body knows it cannot support another being inside of you. Even if you're not trying to get pregnant, that's where it comes from, is that biological urge. And so if it's not safe to stop and have a bowel movement or to have sex, that means that you're on stress overdrive. And, you know, stress isn't the bad guy, but one of the things I do a lot is teach people meditation practices and autogenic training for relaxing and helping them to really get back into their center. And that rejuvenates and revitalizes them. So vitality becomes this word that is reflected in Ayurvedic medicine with a word that's Sanskrit called ojas. And we're born with a certain amount of ojas. It's our life energy, our life force. It's what really vitalizes everything. And if we burn through it too quickly, then we get sick and we die. Like, it's that simple. And you can't replace your ojas very quickly. It's like one drop at a time is the way they think about it. So it's better to preserve it rather than try and get some more, right? And so the Vitality Summit is Women's Vitality Summit, caring for yourself, body, and soul. And I have experts such as you that I've interviewed that come from every part of the vitality puzzle, from body, mind, heart, and spirit, and the whole woman, right? And we talk about children, keeping your children safe online as one of the, you know, when we're mothers, what can drain our vitality? The child that's got a problem, right? And then I have a relationship expert, Keith Witt, is on, and he's amazing. And he talks a lot about, like, really revitalizing your relationship. Why? Because another thing that really drains a woman's vitality is relationship distress. So all of these things I've been hearing in my practice for 30 years, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, let's talk about all of it. How to really work with anxiety, how to work with skin that's driving you crazy. If you look in the mirror and you get triggered and upset about your skin, then you've set yourself up for a bad day with low energy and low vitality, and you start getting it worse because you're anxious about it. So you're on the summit, you know, I mean, all of this is so important. So yeah.
I'm really excited about your summit, and I can't wait to watch it, because I think there's so much that we can all learn from it. And as a woman, as a mother, I definitely think there's a lot of important information that you're sharing. So thank you so much for putting together that summit. Really looking forward to that. Tell us the dates on that one.
September 5th to the 11th. And I chose that purposely because September 11th, we're going to talk a lot about how to let go of pain and forgiveness and things like that, because obvious, for obvious reasons, and really understanding how to take responsibility for your own world and the place that you inhabit. So it kind of graduates from body to spirit in a way. So I'm very excited. It's been so much fun to talk to people like you and the others that are on it. It's, you know, who wouldn't love this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we will have the links up on my website below your interview so that people know exactly where to go. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about all this important information today. I really appreciate the interview.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Keisha Ewers. To learn more about Dr. Keisha, her online Women's Vitality Summit, visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with her interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. I also invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I highly recommend that you get your customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free. Based upon the answers, just a few questions, you'll get your own customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. Also, don't miss out on my latest tips to get glowing skin from the inside and outside. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and join the conversation. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.